Man, we're going to talk today some about the presence of God. I love talking about that. It is not a comprehensive word on the presence of God. That thing's just way too big, way too whatever for everyone. You know what I'm saying? It's just not the same for everybody. But there are some standard things in it. But I'm going to bring out some things that just really some experience, you know, with the presence of God. And this is what we're not necessarily going to talk about the presence of God in church. Like we get into worship or we get into these meetings and we feel the presence of God falling. That's cool stuff. And I'm down with that. But a corporate presence of God is not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you and you. It's just you and God. Mm-hmm. You're at home by yourself. You're in your car. You're in the woods. Whatever you do, just you and God. It's that relational aspect of it. And man, we're going to talk about it. We're going to get into it. And it's good stuff because... anyway, it's just good stuff. You'll see by the time we get to the end. And I know we, especially of us, since we're a lot of us in this room, we've been in church for a while. But there, you can be in church for a while and miss some stuff if you don't understand. You know what I'm saying? I grew up in this church, and it's not like Brother Sam doesn't preach the word. It's not like he's not giving you good messages and good, you know, good word-based truths. But you can still miss a lot. And I had missed a lot of things, even growing up in a wonderful church as this. So it's important to hear these things so that when moments come up in your life where you may be confused or not understanding what's going on, the Holy Spirit can bring to remembrance something you learned 2 years ago. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let me start with this. Worship, the presence of God is not worship. You know, those are not the same thing. Okay? We don't worship so we can get into the presence of God, and the presence of God does not always go along with worship. It can go along with any part of life. I mean, when your relationship with God develops tremendously, the presence of God will be with you from the bathroom to the sanctuary. It'll go everywhere with you, and it's a big deal. It does that. All right, and your ability to focus and sense and walk in that presence of God is directly related to your relationship with God. I have yet to meet an older minister full of the Holy Ghost who lives holy that is not just all the time sensing that presence. And I use that point to fuel my life because I want to get there. I want to move that direction. And I've gotten way better at it over the years. So anyway, the presence of God is not synonymous with relationship. It's a major part of it, but they are not the same thing, all right? It is one of the four essentials to Christian living, which I've taught you guys before, and I always mention prayer, word, the presence of God, and church attendance, or dedicating yourself to a local church. Without those four things, you are not moving forward as a Christian. The top on those is the Word of God, because the Word of God explains every other thing we do. It all starts with the Word. It explains prayer. It explains church attendance. It explains worship. It explains the presence of God. Okay? You're not going anywhere without those things. Okay? So, anyway, I was asking the Holy Spirit, I was like, how do I present this? I know what I want to say, but I'm not quite sure how to say it. And so the Holy Spirit gave me this. The presence of God is not an online relationship. And immediately I knew what that meant. The presence of God, there is some realness there. I don't get to put up my best picture, take 17 selfies and go, oh, this is the one that makes me look best. That's the one I'll present. I don't get to think about what I'm going to type and then go, no, let me change that. And then to retype it, oh, no, let me change it again. And edit who I am 3 or 4 different times before I present it to God. No, see, it's not, you know what I'm saying? I don't get to be passionate about one thing, but if you look into my life, I'm actually not passionate about that. I come to church and I'm all about the worship and worship, but I never worship at home. I don't have any kind of worship. See, when you're in the presence of God, those things don't count. You know, how you present yourself to others, what you want people to see about you is irrelevant in the presence of God. Doesn't matter. You don't get to edit anything. And over in 1 Samuel 16:7, God is talking to Samuel. And Samuel, he's the one who anointed Saul. as king, and then, you know, David later. Mm-hmm. And the Lord said to Samuel, hey, don't look on his appearance. Don't look at his profile picture and what he wrote are his likes. He said, on the height of his stature, because I've rejected him, for the Lord sees not as man sees. Man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. And that is really, that really defines the presence of God. Now I'm going to get into more about what it is. I'm just laying some things out here as usual. Over in 1 John 2:25, it says, it's talking about Jesus, said he needed no one to bear witness about him, for he himself knew what was in man. Mm-hmm. Don't ever forget, you're never hiding anything from God. Right. That's one of the things when I was dealing with pornography that I had to get over, is I would feel so bad about having looked at pornography. I didn't want to come into the presence of God, and I would think, well, it's not like he doesn't know. You know what I'm saying? It's not like I hid that from him. Yeah. You know, like I deleted my internet history and he forgot. No, I mean, he knows. Yeah. He knows everything about my life. Mm-hmm. And when God would pour out his spirit on my life, he knew that 2 days from then, 1 day from then, a week from then, I was going to reject him again, and he still loved me. Mm-hmm. You know, you got to remember that. Mm-hmm. Every blessing you receive from God, God still knows what's in your future. And every shortcoming you're going to do, he still blesses you. You know, the presence of God, it has a corporate side to it, which we're not really talking about it. But, you know, God will inhabit the praises of his people. Even in the temple, when the temple was dedicated, you notice that God filled the whole temple. They couldn't even get in there and handle it. The presence of God and his glory came down on the mountain with Moses. That whole mountain shook, and there was fire and thunder and lightning all at the same time. I mean, that would freak you out. You know what I'm saying? But we're not talking about that. Because in a group situation with the presence of God, such as worship in our sanctuary, because we have such a great worship and a presence here, you can hide. Not from someone else. Not like I'm hiding from Brother Sam, or I'm hiding from the choir, or I'm hiding from security. I'm hiding from myself. See, you can get into worship. This is important to understand. And we can get in that presence of God in the sanctuary, and you can get into the presence because of everyone else's work around you. You didn't actually put any effort into what you're receiving right now. You can get into it. You know, you can start feeling that, and you can just kind of hide out in that presence. But I say hide out into it. Really, what I'm saying is, you know God's close, and you can just kind of ignore the nudges you begin to receive in that presence of God. Mm-hmm. But you can kind of hide out in there and make it through the service and sense some presence, but not really make any adjustments to your life, not really get real. But you can't do that if you go home and you close your bedroom door or you shut your living room and you lift your hands and say, God, I'm here. You can't, there's nowhere to hide in that moment. You know what I'm saying? And this is what I want to say about it. The presence of God is truth. I'm not saying that's all it is, but it's truth in action. The presence of God is literally his presence. Right now, you guys are in my presence. I'm in your presence. We say the presence of God. It's not the moments where he decided to visit us because he's always here. It's those moments when we begin to sense his closeness. Mm-hmm. See, God is here. The fullness of God for any person who's saved, it is inside of you, and you carry it with you everywhere. A tremendous treasure in an earthen vessel. It's here. But we have these moments when we begin to come more sensitive to it, how close and how near God is. And in those moments, what I love is there's such truth and accountability in those moments. But it's not a mean accountability. And by truth, I mean I say I begin to see everything in a correct perspective. I say, man, God, you know, Brother Sam's asking for a missions commitment, but I've got this thing I've been trying to save some money for. Suddenly, in the presence of God, I see the truth what would God do if I gave that to missions? What would God do if I neglected it? Wouldn't he give me 10 times more if I just asked? How much more important this is than this? How much foolish this is than this? Everything becomes, it's such a real perspective in the presence of God. You know what I'm saying? It clarifies it. Because sometimes, you know, you can be sitting around and somebody said something to you or something happened at your job and you're all concerned and worried about it, or you're upset because of something that somebody said to you, but suddenly in the presence of God, truth comes. Yeah. And you're like, man, how can I not forgive them and pray for them? Not just forgive, but bless their life. How can I worry about this thing on my job when my Father created everything we see with his words? Suddenly there's perspective, there's honest truth in those moments. And that is in the presence of God. And the presence of God, like I said, is not just worship. You can get in, you begin to sense that closeness to God, that moving of the Spirit while you're reading the Bible, while you're praying in the Holy Spirit. It used to be I had to set up these moments, and I'm just being honest with you, where I had to get into the presence of God. And I would play some worship music, and I'd worship, and I'd begin to read my Bible and pray, and I'd begin to feel what we feel in the sanctuary when we worship. But as I grew as a Christian, and more importantly, as I eliminated unrighteousness from my life in increasing amounts, it becomes so easy to get into the presence of God. I'd be driving down the road and just have my truck filled with the presence. I'm not even asking. I'm not even praying. I could turn on a sermon and have Brother Sam say, well, good morning, y'all. And sudden, man, I just feel the presence. He ain't even said nothing. You know what I'm saying? Just feel that presence. Now, I don't say that to bother anybody or to convict you if that's not you. I want you to understand that there is more to have. You know what I'm saying? There is a bigger amount to search for, and we should. But let me skip. I'm kind of jumping around in my notes a little bit. But I was talking about that truth, that honesty. Let me skip down to my notes. Like I said, I jumped forward. So in those moments, there's no hiding with the presence of God. There's no lies. They don't exist there. There's only light. There's only truth. Darkness is completely exposed in those moments for everything that it is and everything that it isn't. It isn't able to overpower you. It isn't the final say. But it does exist in your life. See, that's hard. A lot of people run from the presence because of the honesty it brings. Because in a relationship, which presence is directly related to your relationship with God. That's why people who have no relationship with God are so surprised at it. But people do have it. Can begin to take it for granted. It's because they do go together. But listen to this. Relationship requires that you begin to accept and walk in the values of the other person. It requires that. You know, if I'm in a relationship with David and we have zero in common, if I don't make some adjustments to my life, find not only some common ground, but some way I can talk to David and relate to David, then we can never have a relationship. And the more I know David, the larger amount of common ground we have. That's the same thing with Jesus. The larger common ground you have, the larger that relationship grows. The deal is, Jesus isn't changing. If he were to alter himself, your common ground would fall apart, sin would take over, death, and we're done. So we don't want Jesus adjusting, you know, the way he sees life and the way he does things to us. But the more we adjust to him, the more that presence flows quickly and easily. And listen, man, when that truth of the presence, I want to get that truth. Man, revelation begins to flow. Wisdom begins to flow. Understanding is, you begin to plant seeds in the Spirit that are so much more effective than you've ever been. I mean, I've gotten into times in prayer, and it used to be 3-4 times a year. Now it's 2-3 times a week. I can get into these moments of prayer where, man, something, I am laying something down. I don't know what it is, but it's happening. You know what I'm saying? I can feel it. It's not just this this moment where I'm praying in the spirit of the natural, so, I mean, something clicks. And suddenly those words, they even may be simpler words, but there is a power behind them. And I know I'm setting some things up, man. That's what happens in the presence of God. Not only does he begin to reveal truth, he begins to work truth. You know what I'm saying? You can read the word. I don't understand this. Read it again. Man, I don't quite get it. Then Brother Sam preaches on it. You're like, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not quite getting it. And then 3 weeks later, 2 months later, you get into the presence of God, and suddenly in a moment, it's all so clear. And you're like, oh, I get it now.
You're not even thinking about it.
Not even trying to think about it, man. You're over there worshiping about the blood, and all of a sudden you got a revelation about tithing that you've been waiting on for 3 months. And that happens in the presence of God.
Yeah.
And by the presence, remember, I mean when you begin to sense the nearness, this is important, that you already possess. The presence of God, it's for our first ability to see this was in Genesis. And we talked about that last time. Oh, my iPad closed. Let me get back to my notes. Is when Jesus created Adam and Eve. He put them in the garden. And you know, when they sinned, this is important. God would fellowship with them. He would walk in the garden and talk to them face to face. That's our first understanding of the presence. But look at this. Because sin drives us from God, and it never was supposed to. When Adam and Eve sinned, what voice did they hear that made them put on fig leaves? They heard God's. They heard the sound, it says, of him walking in the garden. They heard him coming close. You think God didn't know they had sinned? One of the only times the first time it tells us about God walking in the garden and talking with Adam and Eve was after they'd sinned. Now, he'd obviously done it before then because they knew what that sound was. They're familiar with him coming into the garden.
Right.
But, I mean, the Bible makes reference. They sinned and he was still coming. Mm-hmm. Sin or no sin, he was coming to see his people. Face to face to communicate. Not just face to face. He's not coming to have church and they were going to sit down and he was going to get behind the holy Garden of Eden pulpit and deliver a message. He came to have face-to-face communication with his children because he loved them. I mean, to me, I'm just like, that's just so awesome. It shows you that sin does not have to be a part of your relationship with God. Now, it will affect you, okay? Because sin dulls your ability to hear from God, to walk with God, to get in his presence, to understand the word. It dulls it. It is sin. We talked about it last time. Sin is a separator. Right. It puts distance between you and all, not only all that God is, but all he has for you. Okay? So you can't just live however you want and flourish in God. But your sin will never make God want to be with you less. Just like your righteousness doesn't make him want to be with you more. Okay? That's not how that works. John Bevere, did he say it about his boys when he was here? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. About he told them, I'll never love you more or less, but however much I'm pleased with you is dependent on you. Yeah. Anyway. Let me talk about this. Man, the presence, man, it's that essence of who God is. And not only who he is, but what he is manifesting in our natural world. Right here, we feel, because we'd say, we feel the presence of God. I felt the presence of God. The presence of God was so awesome today. That's an experience we had in those moments. It affected our emotions. It affects naturally. And I don't know if you've ever heard, but I've had an experience even in my own life and in my own heart where was I going? Sorry, a note popped up on my phone. Oh. The presence of God will saturate your home. It'll saturate your life. Do all kinds of stuff. And I've had people tell me that they've come in my home and I was like, yeah, the presence of God is in here and it's awesome. And yeah, that's how we roll at this house. And I've had family members and people comment on it. They're like, man, there's just something in this room. There's something going on here. I'm kind of surprised. And I'm like, well, that tells me where you're at in life. But okay, if you say so. You know, and I don't mean that in the wrong way, but I mean, that's just where they're at in life. You know, it's not that awesome. Sorry, I'm trying to clear up some space so my recording won't quit. Give me just a second. Trash it. But the presence of God will saturate your life. It'll saturate things. It makes a difference in the natural. People don't think that enough. But the presence of God will change the things around you in the natural. I don't know if you guys, if that makes sense.
It's like you know by the reaction, because if they walk in your house and they're like, wow, it's so peaceful in here. You know where they're at. They have the familiarness. But then if they walk in, it's kind of, same thing when people, you run into people. Now I've noticed this being new in my walk still is some people will try to get away from you. Just, you don't even know them. And other people will be like, man, what's up with you? Mm-hmm. What's going on? Like my lieutenant did that one day. I'm like, you know. Yeah. So it's the same thing.
I had my mother-in-law she had to just stay with us for a little bit. She said something about it. But Brother Sam has told the story many times. You know, he lived in a house for years, and he moved out and sold it and moved into a new house, and a lady and her husband moved in. And I don't know if their daughter had died or some kind of car wreck or some kind of trauma in this lady's life, and she had just not been able to sleep for like 5 years, nightmares and all kinds of stuff. First night in that house, had peaceful sleep. Yeah. And they went and found Brother Sam. What is the deal with this house?
That's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, and I've said, listen, we do that all the time. You know, you go into churches, you go to certain places, you know, they've been doing a meeting for 8 days. You walk in just like, wow, what is going on in this room, man? It's an hour before church starts. The only people here are the ushers. And they're like, man, I feel it in here. And that's real. It's tangible. It's a real thing, the presence of God. And you want it in your life. Now, let me don't get too far from my notes, because I don't want to miss some of the things I needed to share today. There's times in his presence when you might just weep. Sometimes you feel like a warrior standing on top of a mountain of conquered foes. Sometimes you might sit quietly and just with a smile on the face. Sometimes you can't write fast enough to keep up with what God is telling you and what you're learning in those moments. The presence of God is all those things. It's all those. It's revelation. It's a manifestation of who he is. It's kindness. It's love. All happening at the same time. You're getting revelation why you're feeling loved, and you don't know whether to cry or write. You don't know. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, that's it. But let me move down. I skipped around in my notes, but that's, I don't mind skipping around in my notes. I'm fine with that. There it is. See, I knew I needed to get back on track. But something, let me tell you about the presence of God. One of the last points I want to make. There's never a time in the presence of God where I felt unloved. You need to understand that. You may feel unfit to be there, but that is your sin manifesting in your soul. And that is not the way God looks at it. Genesis lays that out clearly. It says Adam and Eve had eaten of the garden. They realized they were naked, and they ran to put fig leaves on and sew up their fig skirt or whatever they're doing, because they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden, and he was calling their name. Even though they had sinned, he was on his way to meet them. Sin was irrelevant. Now, he had to change the way things were handled then, but that doesn't mean he was stopping fellowship. And you need to understand that. I used to think, you know, when I was dealing with pornography, I'd look at some pornography, and then I'd say, all right, I'm just going to skip prayer for 2 days and let this all smooth over before I come back to God. Like, that counted. Like, that was normal.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense at all. When you read the word, it doesn't make any sense at all. Now, I felt that made me feel better because I was so ashamed of who I was. But that didn't make God feel any better. He missed out on 2 days with his son because his son acted a fool. Something he had already forgiven me for and knew I was going to do anyway. never felt unloved in the presence of God. Felt unworthy to be there, but never unloved. Now your sin and the sin, I mean, sin keeps us out of the presence of God. Sometimes it's the sin we commit. Sometimes it's just sin in the world. Sometimes we're trying to, we want to get into some moments of praise and worship or in our home or prayer and get into that presence. It's hard. It's not necessarily anything you're doing wrong. The devil is just fighting. The enemy's fighting you. You know what I'm saying? Doesn't want you in the presence. Sometimes it's just life, man. It's just hard. Sometimes it's so to see. Sometimes it is God. He wants to know if you're going to press in. See, it says in Hebrews that those who come to God must believe He is God. And then He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek. So the reward of the diligent seeker is that he finds what he's looking for. It's what every diligent seeker. I mean, if you're a treasure hunter, it's because you want to find the treasure. Right. You're not out, you know, you're looking for a Walmart. That's not what treasure hunters do. They want to find what they're looking for. They want to find the treasure. And God says, man, if you're going to have faith in me, if you're going to know who I am, you got to believe that I want to be found. Mm-hmm. And I want to be found by you. Mm-hmm. That if you seek me, I have all intentions of rewarding your efforts. And notice in that scripture, he didn't put any emphasis on sin. Now, sin is a separator. You cannot neglect that. It separates us, which is why we want to do right. We want to live holy. We want to be more than what we are. But it can't separate you from the love of God. I mean, Romans 8 made that clear. What's separated from, you know, nakedness, peril, sword? Nothing. That's not happening. Nothing's separating you from the love of God because it came on you while you were still yet a sinner. If he was the lamb slain from the foundation of the world before you had committed wrong, he had already agreed to fix it. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So that part is done with. That's already settled. Presence of God in our personal lives. That's what I'm talking about. So that's the question I want to present to you guys. It is this. One, is there any presence of God in your personal life? And two, are you seeking it? Listen, a diligent seeker can't seek diligently at zero cost. Okay, a treasure hunter, if I'm going to go out and I'm a weenie treasure hunter, I mean, I'm not even worthy of the name. I went down to Walmart, I got me a $12 metal detector, and I searched around my backyard, and I quit. That's a weenie treasure hunter. Okay, that's not it. You shouldn't even call me a treasure hunter. I got a metal detector. We don't even know if it works at this point. It's so cheap. Okay, you know what I'm saying? I basically got it beside my car. It still ain't going off. That's how cheap this thing is. But a real treasure hunter, they spend millions. They research for years. They scroll through ancient texts. They go through folklore. They go through local legends. They get all this high-tech equipment, man. They throw it on a boat, and they begin to scour the ocean floor. And they will search for years for this one treasure. That is diligently seeking, and it will cost you. Okay? You cannot, I'm just telling you, you cannot have the presence of God for free. It's not going to work. First of all, it's going to cost you sin. And sin is always pleasurable for a season. If sin was terrible, none of us would sin. Okay? But it's not. It's pleasurable. All right? It fills the flesh with what it wants to feel, and it temporarily satisfies the soul, but it always hurts the soul in the long run. And so you have to sin again to bring that satisfaction back. But if you just sinned once, you would always regret it. Okay? That's just the way that works. But the presence of God, that truth, if you really want it, if you really want that verification in your life that you and God are moving on the same page for the same reasons, working the same direction, you can have it. You can have all that truth. There's a lot of accountability in it. Okay, I can't just put on my Facebook page, my spiritual Facebook page, I believe in tithing. And then always keep my tithe. Because if I get into the presence of God, the truth is there. Yeah. it's going to light up the correct, you know, the righteousness of the tithe. Mm-hmm. It's going to light up the darkness that I've been lying about it. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to say in that moment whether changing the way I handle my tithe is worth the presence of God. Mm-hmm. I'm going to decide whether God is worth the change. The legit, that presence of God that's one-on-one, that verification of relationship, it can be very hard on you. I don't think people say that enough. It's not easy. It's not lightweight. For a person who loves God, it's not a big deal. They'll abandon all and never look back, and that's fine. But for those who have to struggle and fight with the flesh in areas, man, it can really hurt. The presence of God was a painful experience for me for many years because I was dealing with pornography. Because I'd be praying on the morning, looking at porn at night, and then going back to pray again in the morning. And that shame just hammered my life for years. But nothing, I'll tell you one thing, and I've told this before. It taught me how much God loves me. It taught me that He didn't look at me as a product of sin, but as a product of His Son. Now that, again, doesn't mean that sin didn't cost me. I'm not saying that. Don't be foolish. Sin will separate you, not only from God, but for His will for your life. Yeah. His blessings, His health, His hope, His prosperity, His clarity of mind. Sin will separate you from that. But it won't pull you back from the love. So I'm asking you guys, you need to check your lives. Is the presence there? If it's not, why? And if it's not, you need to get it there. You got to dig into it. It's important. You don't want to go through what's coming on this earth without some clarity from the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. But I tell you what, man, you start worrying about how am I going to get the money for this? What do I do here? Man, you get into the presence of God and sudden sense clarity comes. Just love it, man. Love it.